Good afternoon, and welcome to Autogrill's first half 2019 earnings call. Joining me on the call are Gian Mario Tondato, our Group CEO, and Camillo Rossotto, our Corporate General Manager and Group CFO. Before we get started, we want to emphasize that some of the information discussed in this call may contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in these statements. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. Now, we are available to take your questions. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my question. The first one is about North America. First half benefited from easy comparison and likely price hikes started in mid-2018. I would like to better understand if you do expect the second half to be supported by a new wave of price increases. This is my first question about North America, and then what is your feeling about labor cost inflation in North America? What was the trend in first half, and if you consider the second half trend similar to this? My second question is about international. In the first half, you reported weak margins. This trend probably is much different from your guidance of flattish margins. I would like to better understand what kind of assumption for the full year or better color on the initiatives that you are undergoing in order to improve margins in the second half. Then, finally, on the net working capital, I would like to better understand if you do expect to fully recover the minus 60 million of negative net working capital trend of the first half for the full year. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Let me address the last one first. The answer is yes. We expect that on a full year basis, we're going to be on track with the guidance we provided at the Capital Market Day of doubling our cash flow generation versus 2018. That implies essentially go back on a full year basis with around something like zero or be on parity in terms of change in working capital on a full year basis, which in turn implies to recover the absorption in the first half, which was driven by receivables and payments that we had already forecasted related to the monetary expression of the one-off cost that we booked in 2018 for the cogeneration deal and some other VAT receivables, which reverse in the second half of the year. The answer is yes, we are confirming the guidance of doubling the free cash flow and therefore recovering the absorption of the first half. On the margins, let me start with North America. On recall, we tend to provide guidance and color around the full year performance, given the relevance of seasonality also in our numbers. When you look at our new and confirmed guidance for 2019 in terms of the EBITDA range for 50-470 million euros on an underlying basis, that implies operating margin stability at the North American level. As you recall, last year, we talked about something like 11% of underlying EBITDA margins in North America, and I think that's still the operating assumption. dynamics on the so the incrementals in first half, forgetting for a second the comparables with last year's, are still impacted by strong dynamics in terms of labor cost inflation. We're talking about 5.5% roughly there, and we don't see those subsiding in the short term. So we continue to guide for margin stability as opposed to margin improvement. Last, I think you were asking about international. It's taking a bit longer than expected to fix some of the issues in some of the stores in the Nordics, and as a consequence of that, that's reflected in the profitability, compounded by, I think, a slowing down of traffic in the Nordics, and that has kind of driven the lower operating profitability. We're still seeing solid growth overall, but I think in terms of overall guidance, we are probably slightly lower than we expected when we met with you at the Capital Markets Day, which then on the total numbers of the group still blend to the range that I given before.
Okay, thank you. And about back to North America, about the price increases, are you so in the first part of this year, so 2019, have you passed some price hikes so to support the second half, or we are still, working on the 2018 price hikes?
No, there's still some new pricing in there, so. That those should be sufficient to weather the increases on the labor cost side, and therefore it's consistent with the flattish margin indication that we provided you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I received via email some question from Ali Naqvi of HSBC. So. Some questions on margins. European margin growth of 100 basis points. How much of this was driven by the Italian turnaround? How far are you in the cross-generational deal and any opportunities for further margin progression here given? On international, if you back out the pre-opening costs, what would the margin have been for H1? Finally, on margin, could you explain the moving parts that saw your raw material cost fall as a proportion of sales and operating these concession fees increase, but not as much as like-for-like sales growth?
Maybe we repeat the last one because it's too complicated. But first, on Italy, on Europe, the 100 basis point, it's really driven by Italy. Clearly, the cross-generational deal is in there. The first half result reflects part of that, but there's other pieces in there which have to do with the cost of products, actions on the operating cost and store labor cost and others. So definitely the driver of improvement is Italy. The second question was on
international.
It's hard to back out of international things. I mean, that's their operating performance. Probably the indication they were given previously of stable margins and recovering in the course of 2019, sort of the 10.5% profitability. Will require a little bit longer, so we still have given you an overall guidance that reflects the fact that they will get to around 10.5% by 2020.
On margin, could you explain the moving parts that saw your raw material costs fall as a proportion of sales and operating lease concession fees increase, but not as much as like-for-like sales growth?
I mean,
see it more as a statement than as a question, but anyway, the cost of materials, of raw materials, are actually pretty effectively managed both in Europe and in the U.S., and you can see that on the P&L. And one component that's new in terms of the business model is the American Airlines deal, which is clearly impacting the P&L in terms of additional cost of materials that we will then reinvoice as we move on. So that changes a little bit the percentages in terms of the impact of the cost of goods. And still at the early stages, so we see that reflected in the second half in the bigger magnitude.
Okay, we can go ahead with the other questions, please.
Okay, we have our question. The next question comes from Simon Le Chypre of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions for me, please. First of all, as a follow-up on the free cash flow question, what do you expect in terms of CapEx for the full year? Second question, in North America for the motorway business, how do you see like-for-like trend evolving over H2? And last question, still in North America, it seems that you have had a slight loss in terms of net contract effect over the May-June period as opposed to the January-April period. So if you could expand a little bit on this point, and how do you see the net contract effect evolving over H2?
Can you repeat the last question, please, number point three?
In North America, it seems you have had a slight negative net contract effect over the May-June period as opposed to a slight positive effect for the January-April period. So just wondering if you can expand a little bit on this one, and also how do you see this effect evolving over H2?
Sorry, Simon, if we understood well, you want to break down the performance we had on the top line the months of May and June in respect to what we have announced as of April. Is that the question?
Yeah, but with a focus on the net contract gain or losses.
Sorry, I think that you don't have to look month by month, but it's much more important to have a look channel by channel. So I think that the most relevant point is the fact that we are continuing increasing our footprint at airports while we are reducing a little bit the footprint on motorways. That is also relating to the fact that we are doing some refurbishment works, as you know, on the New Jersey Turnpike. So there are some point of sale that now are closed for refurbishment, whilst at airports we continue to increase the footprint.
Okay.
On CapEx for the year, we confirm the 6.5 maximum CapEx for the year as we continue to finish the process with the motorways in Europe, and we continue to invest also in the motorways in North America. You can see on slide 17 of the material that the CapEx by channel, how it breaks down, is 55% in airports and 32% in motorways as a function of the investment in also the New Jersey Turnpike and others. And the second half the motorway like-for-like trends are still pretty flat, and motorways we don't see any big change there.
Okay, thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Coccoli Luca of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Just one question on the North America. Given the very easy comps, I would have expected a quicker EBITDA margin recovery in this geography. So are still there cost headwinds, such as labor cost limiting margin improvement, or everything is in line with your, budget, and should we expect an acceleration in the second semester, which seems not possible based on what you answered to some of the previous questions?
I think the gist of your question is you would have expected better flow through of the incremental sales in North America in the first half, given the comparables. But you have seen a bit of margin improvements. The labor cost is clearly there. Like I said before, it's in excess of 5% in terms of inflation. And so we need to weather that through efficiency and through productivity and through pricing. The second one is there are some, as you've seen, also from the activity in North America, we are reporting significant new gains in new airports, new locations. What that means is that it takes a little bit more in some of these to get to up to speed and to get the full benefit of the operating leverage there. So that's part of what happened in the first half, and that's pretty much it. So I think again, the cost of repetition, the full year indication for us is still of constant margins on the incremental performance, which is pretty strong in airports.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Dalin, Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Geoffrey Deluin from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Two questions, please, and apologize because I've missed, the very start to the call, so maybe you've got these questions already, but just would like to get back to your working capital outflow for the first half, which has been minus 68 million euros compared to 33 million euros in the first half 18. Just would like to get your sense on how we can look at this working capital on a full year basis, because it seems to be impacted by temporary items in the first half. And my second question is any update on the Starbucks partnerships you can share with us, please? Thank you.
Okay, I'll deal with the working capital. Indeed, I had talked about it, but thank you.
Apologize.
No, don't worry. We still are on task with the full year objective of doubling last year free cash flow. And as far as the working capital component of it, that means that it basically needs to go back to a call it a zero level. So we would reverse in the second half most of the absorption in the first half. The part that has to do with receivables, which is both linked to the coming into regime of the American Airlines deal in North America and some VAT receivables in Italy that we revert in the second half. And then there's a piece which was forecasted for and will provide for more free cash flow in terms of our European operation, which was the cross-generational deal that was booked last year but cashed out this year. So the improvement in the second half in the free cash flows is going to be mostly driven by working capital.
On the Starbucks question, I think, as you have seen we are pretty active in managing our brand portfolio lately. We're improving our partnership with Pret a Manger, that is an important, of course, brand that we are developing in the U.S. very successfully, actually. The last brand that we got exclusive for the concession business in the U.S. is Panera, that is a very, very important brand. It's a cutting-edge brand also for the digital development that they did. You know, they made more than 2 billion sales, if I recall well, you know, just in the, through the digital, and they have a small part of their business that is coffee business, and of course bread is the sort of is the base of their. So, just to tell you that we are pretty active in developing and updating our portfolio. On Starbucks, as I said many times, you know, we've been partner for more than 30 years. Actually, if you go there, you know, you look at in the entrance of the Starbucks headquarters, there is in the wall, you know, there is the milestone when we opened the first store together, you know, in Seattle, Tacoma, is still there, so we still have a good relationship. And it's, of course, 20% of our sales, and we're important for them, they're important for us, and we are in discussion now, so we have time, and we are trying to reshape the partnership and the friendship that we've been enjoying in the last 30 years. And of course, the landscape now is very different. You know, as I said many times, you know, there is this local and global perception, you know, and strength of the brand, you know, that is coexisting. So we have to find a smart solution to keep staying together, you know, developing both the business, you know, but also fulfilling the needs of this environment that has changed in the last 7-8 years, you know, that we've been together. So for what I can tell you is that I expect to be a Starbucks operator for the year to come. There's no question about that, you know, but we're still in the middle of a long, I would say, discussion, positive discussion, you know, with them.
Thank you very much.
Is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for my couple of more questions from my side. The first one is more strategic about bolt-on acquisitions and probably disposals, just to better understand your current pipeline, what are you looking for, just to have an update on this part. You were very active at the beginning of the year, but I would like to better understand if we could expect or to manage something by year-end. This is my first question. My second question is about your guidance on EPS reported. I am not wrong to say that excluding one-off, you are guiding for 0.41-0.42 to 0.46, just to deducting the one-off for the first half. It's correct. Thank you.
I'll take the second one. Now, what we're guiding for is at the midpoint of the reported EPS for a 47 cents of underlying EPS, and then you range it accordingly. So it's slightly higher because I think the calculation you're doing for deducting the one-off is a bit too generous. You need to consider in there not only the number that you've seen in the financial statements published today, but also the component of underlying the first half and the impact on a full year basis of having disposed of Canada and the Czech Republic. So the 47 cents, which was provided at the Capital Market Days at the center of the new range, so 90 to 95 cents.
47,
yes.
47 is the midpoint for the underlying EPS.
Perfecto.
Okay.
Talking about the acquisition of the bolt-on and the disposal, you know, I can just repeat what you probably heard, you know, during our Capital Markets Day, you know. So, as I said, you know, we are not sitting on our assets. You know, we have, if you look at the portfolio, the motorway portfolio, we have probably 400 million, you know, on a yearly basis. Evaluation of sales that belongs to contracts with a duration that is around more than 15 years. So there is an embedded value. Duration is value, as we said, during the Investor Day. We already proved this with the Canadian disposal. There is a market for this asset, and we'll try to do something that, if it is positive for it creates value for the corporation. Talking about the bolt-on is the same thing. We are in the game. It's a way to invest the proceeds, that we get from this active approach to the asset. And if we do something, we will announce something. Those things, you make acquisition. After that, you announce the acquisition. We don't do the other way around. As simple as that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Messari Jazar of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Jafar Messari from Exane BNP Paribas. And apologies, I also missed the first few minutes of this call, so hopefully you haven't covered this. Two questions, please. The first one, on free cash flow, have you reiterated the sub guidance for free cash flow to equity to already double this year? And then secondly, on the net new business wins in North America, I appreciate there's a lot of churn there in terms of gross wins. You are definitely winning quite a lot, about 100 million. But the losses are basically of a similar magnitude so far. So given the updated brand strategy, the new partnerships, given how much CapEx you've put in recent years to defend some of your strategic contracts, when can we expect net new business wins in North America to be more materially positive?
So, listen, I'll reply to your question on free cash flow, Jafar, because the one on America was very choppy. But I guess the first point is, yes, we are confirming, even on the back of the cash absorption at the operating level coming from working capital, our guidance for the full year of doubling free cash flow. And the way we get there, while we continue to guide for a 6.5% roughly capex in the year, so the change in working capital for the remainder of the year will make up the absorption of the first half. There are components there which are structural, like the payment for the transformational deal in Italy for the workforce that we had already forecasted, and you see it in the first half as a function of actually the disbursement having occurred there. But those will be recovered through operating cash from the second half. And then there are others which will reverse as a function of VAT receivables being absorbed in second half of the year, where we have more business volumes and the deal with the American Airlines gets to cruising altitude in the second half. So I guess that was your question on free cash flow. On North America,
if you didn't quite hear that, apologies. But basically my question is, gross new contract wins, about 100 million, losses, about 100 million revenue. Is there a realistic scenario where you start winning on a net basis a more material contribution?
Understood. If I can, some of those contracts, 100 million, roughly speaking, 100 million wins, and 100 million losses are real, because they are contracts that are expired. The 100 million wins, most of them are startup, so frankly speaking, there are couple of big airports in which we are starting the business. They are not they're not finished yet. So, you're going to see a big improvement there, definitely. So it's a startup curve, you're going to see an important improvement in the openings, in terms of sales, of course. And that's it, basically.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no more questions at the moment. Again, to ask a question, please press star then one. We have no questions.
So many thanks for your time. I am available to take other calls if you want to have some follow-ups. Have a nice evening. Bye.